No, that's what I think. Whenever it comes to paying for anything, especially anything American or anything colonial, I'm like, no, you've taken enough out of our fucking country.
Oh my goodness. And our people are currently on the streets causing havoc. And that's a great way to start. Episode 134. You still haven't fixed your numbering system, Kevin.
Don't set me off, bro.
So, yeah, dude, our country is on fire. I'm Lindsay Shooters. ThatOpinionGuy.co.za is my website. I'm Sharpshooters on social media, on Twitter mainly. And I'm joined, as always, by the editor of the continent's biggest consumer technology publication called Tech Magazine.
Hello.
Kevin Dudley. Kevin Dudley, how are you, sir?
I'm okay. Lindsay's talked me down from my concerns that this violence was going to wash up on my doorstep. I don't think it'll never happen, but it's not going to happen today, apparently. Not according to Lindsay.
We are in Cape Town. We're pretty okay. But so Samsung, LG, I mean, everyone saw the visuals in South Africa of people just walking off with LG TVs from the factory in KZN. They put out a statement that they will be cleaning up and getting back to work and trying to resuscitate that facility.
It is so radical, man. If you saw any visuals at all, you've seen Bucky's loaded up with TVs that you and I could never afford. I saw an extremely large LG NanoCell TV being driven along by someone who'd also stolen the forklift in order to get it home.
Forklift, as my sister pointed out on our WhatsApp group, you see when a forklift license really comes into play. So she's
Could
like someone
your
who
needs
a forklift permit when it comes to Cape Town. I would never actually. Although, if I was walking down the street and someone had dropped an iPad
Pro
while running off, I don't think I could walk by it. But yeah,
okay.
Anyway.
So it's
a dark dump. So
we know Samsung's been hit bad. Not mobile phones, but apparently appliances and everything else. So that's TVs and stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
Samsung's
they rated
been hit
the macro freaking.
Yeah.
DC.
I mean, macro, it was one of the big macro stores. And they just have, on any given day, hundreds of TVs.
No, they hit the distribution center.
For macro?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. It's been insane.
The mass smart distribution center.
Yeah. And a macro store, as well, as I understand. Yeah. Anyway, I mean, and so Samsung claims they haven't lost any phones through it, but their service centers have all been burnt down in KZN. LG said the same. Like I say, I mean, I saw an LG TV driving home with a forklift.
LG's factory was it?
Yes.
Facility was
and they are downplaying how bad this is. There is a monitor that I've been waiting for I think 11 months now. Okay, and that has now been delayed because it all got burnt down or stolen from Durban. And finally, Mustek, a name that not everyone will know. They're a distributor of other people's laptops, so you can buy HPs and Dells and so on from them. They had a huge office which was being looted. The police arrived, chased everyone away, and as soon as the police left, they all came back and burnt the place to the ground. So, you know, these are the three we know about, but there's plenty more, I'm sure.
Yeah, and then they've been taking down cell phone towers and so it's like, who needs a state of emergency when the populace is breaking down the community?
Yeah, making it for you.
I make light of the situation, but it's dire. I actually don't have the words to really capture.
But let's not panic. Remember, as Lindsay was pointing out to me, this is just wereld sekhutis. All the stuff can be put back, can be remade, can be rebuilt. There's other stuff that's, you know, less easy to restore.
So, talking about things that can't be restored, let's move to some technology news. Joker is back, Gavin. Oh. You might ask me what Joker is. Do you know what Joker is, Gavin?
I do. It's malware, I believe.
Yes, malware that is embedded and flooded the Google Play Store.
Really?
In various
are they
apps.
Discovering? I haven't followed the details. Have they got lots of apps with it in?
Yes. Urgh. Yeah, so it's all like camera apps and like it's a whole bunch of stuff that people use every day. They kind of got it under control, and now they've seen that the attack method has changed, or how they are inserting the malware has changed that methodology.
So let's remember that Google has huge resources allocating to scanning all the code in all these apps. Some of it's done by human beings, some of it's done by machines, but they really do go to great lengths to make sure the stuff doesn't get into the App Store, and it did anyway. So, you know.
So like, it's important for two reasons. Like, one, in April, they discovered that it is also infested, was the words that people used in Huawei's app gallery as well, so they're not doing an awfully good job keeping these bad. So what Joker does is a piece of malware that runs in the background, and it simulates clicks. And can siphon off a lot of your personal data. It will subscribe you to paid services. So you'll suddenly see money going off your phone account.
They fake services, obviously. They're just fake services that have been created in order for money to be loaded onto.
Yeah, pretty much real stuff. Like I know Vodacom's become quite good at scanning what things you are subscribed to or what your number is subscribed to. And I get every now and again, I think it's like Fun Chat is a service, a value-added service that comes up every now and again.
Which you don't subscribe to, which, okay.
I haven't physically subscribed to anything because I only... Now, this is the important thing. The Verge published an article. Facebook commissioned a study by Comcast to... Was it Comcast? I forget. To look at app usage on Android and iOS, focusing specific on embedded apps. So, like, the apps that come with your phone. And, like, obviously on the... On the iOS side, like the phone, the camera, the like those apps, and they like these people are crowding out the fucking market. And you like when the market is a cesspool of malware. maybe I want some trusted things to come on my phone that I can use.
Apple has made short work of capitalizing on people's paranoia and concern, especially the less tech literate people. They get Apple stuff because they don't want to have to find out how it all works and how the sausage is made, etc., etc. And, you know, they get Apple stuff because Apple assures them that they won't allow lurgies to come in. But they should not give people that assurance because it only takes one incident for that entire marketing strategy to fall flat. Hasn't happened yet, really, as far as I know.
Mm. Yeah, but I'm just saying there's a reason why, like, Samsung users use the Samsung dialer because it's the product that came on their phone and it's too risky to download all sorts
another
of other crap.
But this other thing did happen with all the cell companies. Vodacom, MTN and Telkom have all identified a criminal syndicate that's working across that whole network. It's a complicated thing. Somehow they, using credentials of employees at the company, and let's just use Vodacom as the example. So someone who's working somewhere in an administrative, a technical administrative position at Vodacom, they get hold of that person's contact details. They can then access individual people's phones, create a new contact on the phone without the person knowing about it. Mm. You know, I mean, if you're me, I've got 600 people or something in my contact list. I will never notice if you add a new one under J, you know. And then what happens is, on the phone, they can transfer money directly to the new contact using the various send me money services from all the mobile operators. And they have lost millions to date because the syndicate has just now been uncovered.
Over 8 million.
Yeah.
Which is insane. Like, I'm very weary of this trend with the operators where they try and push all these services. Like you switch on an Android phone and you put a Vodacom SIM inside of it and it just...
Everything goes red.
Vomits out. Vodacom stuff. So I have found
including
a little
lovely
bit,
wallpaper.
I have found a little bit of value in the My Vodacom app. But yeah, when I read this on the note, I got very paranoid because I just upgraded my contract. And not only did I get an iPhone in July, which is like cardinal sin, because you must always wait until September.
True. This is true. That is a bit of a weirdo. Okay, keep going.
Yes, but dude, the iPhone 12 mini, as I've said many, it took me 10 minutes to get to this point.
True. The build-up.
iPhone 12 mini was the best phone, and I put my money where my mouth is.
Okay.
So I got that. And now I'm going to be scanning my first bill on my new upgraded contract.
For things. See, I mean, I would never spot this thing, you know, because if your bill is like 400 or 500 rand, I don't know what a typical bill would be, you're not going to notice like a 10 or 20 rand charge, but you know, that can go on for years without you noticing.
This is now the first time in 4 years that I will be on a different contract. So they don't
having not renewed or extended your previous contracts, you're going for a whole new dispensation.
Yes, because my contract doesn't exist anymore. They will not give you a straight data plan with a phone. You have to take minutes. So they try to give me like the red contract and like all those sorts of things. And I'm like, I don't want voice minutes, I just want data, because that's what I use.
So what is your concern about moving to a new contract?
Now there's all these other charges and stuff.
Instead of just so like, it's not as straightforward as it used
to be. This is your data, this is your thing. So now it's like more complicated. So if something was going off, I wouldn't maybe notice.
Oh, because you're unfamiliar with the format. Yeah, okay. So MTN's doing a big internal forensic investigation. They've discovered 2,000 MTN subscribers who are affected. So, you know, you can bet if MTN's discovered 2000, almost certainly Vodacom the same, and almost certainly Telkom in a similar ballpark, I would say.
Boza network.
Yeah, but you know, 8 million has been scammed off people, man. I don't know how people are going to get their money back. I don't know what they're going to do about it. I mean, because the point is, it wasn't any of the users' fault. The access to people's phones to create the contact to which to transfer the money, that was entirely managed on the network side. So as far as I can see, the network is directly liable for what's happened there, and I hope people get their money back.
But then in your other little note here, what was it, 14 megabits per second is the average national broadband speed in South Africa based on the annual Worldwide Broadband Speed League report, ranking us third in sub-Saharan Africa and 97th in the world.
Yep.
That is amazing. We're in the top 100. Right? You know how much rhetoric there is about like how crap we are?
Uh-huh.
And it's like, we're not that crap, guys.
Okay. Well, I mean, you skipped to the one stat that you liked. There were a whole lot of other stats that were more concerning. So this is Seacom put out. Seacom, they're the people who run one of the big undersea cables that, you know, brings the internet to South Africa. They compiled research from lots of different sources and came out with these interesting stats. So one of the stats is 36%, that's the proportion of the population that is just not connected to the internet at all. Okay, 36%, a third, like 25, 30 years into the internet in South Africa, a third of the population has no access to the internet. That's just insane, you know. Cost per gigabyte is roughly 40 rand. Cost per gigabyte, I mean, I don't know, I'd say that's on the low side. Most people who are buying a standalone gigabyte are paying 50 and 60 bucks for it. It's only people who are buying a package or a bundle or a longer term thing that get lower rates, but they say it's 40 rand a gig, and that's still 22 times more expensive than the cheapest, which will be someone like India or somewhere like that, you know.
Yeah, India's dirt cheap. I think I paid like I think it was $30, and I got 1.5 gigabytes per day.
Damn, for $30. So $30 would make it like 500 rand or something. Yeah.
But I got 1.5 gig
per day.
Jeez. Per day. For okay. I don't even know how long. I wasn't in the country long enough for me to like figure out if that was maybe per month.
India, we're talking like a billion people who need to get broadband. So that's hella impressive that they can service a billion people with broadband for 22 times less than South Africa. Only in India, man.
Talking and then about... Yes.
All right, so the final stat, which Lindsay's issue, is 14 megabit per second is the average speed. Now, that's weird, because even if you had ADSL, that's supposed to top out at 10, but of course you don't actually get 10, you get 6.
You can go up to 20.
Yeah, if you're within a kilometer of the exchange or something. Okay, so for most people it would be 10, and of the 10 you're only ever getting like 6. So I don't know how they got to 14. I think they just took the size of the undersea cables and divided it by the population or something weird.
No, it's all the people like you who have now upgraded to like 100 megabit.
Okay, so
fiber lines.
Right. Okay, so we show really high, a small number of people with huge amounts of connectivity, and then the masses very little.
And then me with my 30 megabit per second RAIN 5G that sometimes goes up to like 45, 70.
Well, just a quick aside, not to waste too much time on this, but right now we're recording this at Canal Walk, which is one of the big shopping centers in Cape Town, for those who are not from Cape Town.
One of the biggest on the continent.
Yeah, it's huge and it's very impressive. They have free Wi-Fi here that's 70 up and 70 down.
That is incredible.
Which is insane and completely free. And there wasn't even an onerous login thing. It was just like, give us your name.
I was cruising the parking lot.
And boom, it's running.
When Gavin sent me the picture of his speed test and I almost crashed the car.
Because Lindsay's so grateful for his 30. But if I were him, I would just come and work at Canal Walk every day and download
about
the
that
internet.
Sort of like connectivity stuff. I had a lovely chat with the CEO and the COO of a company called Astrofica.
Astrofica, yeah.
So we've always said our path has been really laid before us, because everything that Astrofica is all about to this day, it has been laid before us. God has been connecting the dots for us, because when we did that study, we got exposed to what we call the downstream. So in space, we have two sectors, an upstream and a downstream. The upstream are the engineers that do the designing, the manufacturing, the integration, the testing of the satellites. which is where Khaled and my background is. But we didn't know about the downstream. So the downstream side, the scientists that would download the data from our satellites, manipulate it or develop it or process it or do whatever is required to get the end product that would be used by the end user, because the end user doesn't speak our language. They're not interested in the raw data. What they want is the information that they can use to cater for their needs.
Yeah, no, for sure. So I think on the rail and transport sector, when we approached, as Jesse mentioned, the thoughts of diversifying our experience and taking space applications into various other sectors as indirect spin-offs or spin-in benefits. That at the time in 2017, 2018 was, you know, very, very blue sky. And what we've realized with what Astrophica's part is, and, you know, if I can sum Astrophica today in a nutshell, I would say that we are a high technology services and solutions provider. You know, we have core skills in building and testing satellite systems, but we also have a keen interest in owning our own constellation of satellites and commercializing the data.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we believe that the satellite is not the end goal. It's the means to the end.
Before they started the company, they wanted to use space technology on a rail to improve our rail infrastructure.
Hmm.
Because rail signaling is just sending bits of data a long way. Mm. And so they're like, you can do that without a cable.
Yes. Why run a communications cable the full length of your railway when you could just be doing it by satellite?
Yeah. And like, it's a lot of practical little solutions that come from space technology that we don't even think about.
Yeah. So these guys, it's one guy and one girl, a man and a woman, shall we say. They're quite young. I mean, my impression is that they're in their maybe early 30s or something like that. And they have all worked in South Africa's space program. So they've worked in South Africa's space program, which is where they acquired the skills for the satellite stuff. And their whole point is that satellite technologies are now being used in a whole lot of ways that were not envisaged before. Mm. You know, for example, monitoring your farmlands and all sorts of other things like that. So they are trying to take advantage of that and are providing those solutions. And
they brought me around on the whole Mars debate, where I'm like super anti-colonizing Mars, but can now kind of understand the on-the-ground engineering problems that can only be solved by thinking at that level.
Yeah.
So they brought me around on that.
Mm. I want to talk about a product that completely set me off. You set me off. I feel as though you've had knowledge of this product and have concealed it from me this entire time. There was a product that was tacked onto the end of a story you wrote for us about these virtual desktops. The NextDock 360 is basically my future.
It's a laptop that you plug your a laptop shell that you plug your phone into.
So it's basically a dumb laptop. It's just a screen and a keyboard put
and
together.
And a battery.
Yeah, and put together in like a laptop format. So it's a laptop, but it doesn't have any of its own processing power. You plug your phone in, and your phone becomes the compute for this laptop. So the laptop's just a shell. I mean, this obviously plugs into Lindsay's broader story, which is all about how you can use your phone as a desktop
certain
PC.
Certain phones.
We're still debating.
When you meet like criteria of like USB 3, video out.
Oh my goodness. Lindsay made it so technical. I couldn't even follow what I could understand that what he was trying to describe was very complicated. So at first I thought, well, all Android 10s will do it. Then it turns out, no, even though it's built into the operating system, it actually only works if you have a certain kind of plug that will send the video signal out. And I'm like, how the hell is an average consumer ever going to figure that out, Lindsay? And he tried to explain it in the story. Okay, so the point is, we've spoken about this many times on the show, and I'm still a big believer that phones are actually going to be the computers of the future. They are now so powerful, you can just plug them into a screen and use a cordless mouse and keyboard to use it as a computer.
Especially with the Windows 11, the cloud-based Windows 11.
Right.
Where they'll run a complete operating system in a virtual machine.
Right.
It's going to business and enterprise customers as its first rollout.
This is the Azure thing.
So you use any device you want,
mm-hmm.
and you can have the plug-in for this, and you can just, as long as you have a data connection, you have full access to like working Windows 11.
So you use a fairly dumb, lightweight product, but the entire operating system is run remotely on servers by Microsoft, and all the work is done on their side. It just shows you the output. You do the input through your dumb, relatively yes. dumb device, and it brings the output back. It doesn't actually have to do much compute.
So this is where I am. Where I, like I've said before, I'm a Microsoft 365 user. So I use Microsoft 365 to sync all of my Word and Excel and PowerPoint documents and everything, and sticky notes and all those things. And I just need access to it in an interface that suits the device that I'm using it on.
Mm-hmm.
And you can build that for anything. You can develop that for like any device.
Yeah. So as much as we try and be practical and realistic about technology, this is a kind of a near future technology that's busy breaking now. Stay with our show and we'll keep you updated. Because 3 or 4 years from now, this is going to be the default computing practice. We were just ahead of the curve of it. Yeah. But just to bring up that next doc one more time. So this is a dumb laptop with no processing power. You add the phone becomes the processing power. Such a cool idea,
Frankie. If your phone has a desktop mode, it will be mirrored on this screen.
And so unfortunately we can't, well, this next dock costs I think $300, so that would make it like
plus shipping
5,000 rand or something.
I ran the numbers on it and it worked out to like just shy of $7,000 to
really,
get one here.
Whoa.
And then like the waiting period was like pretty long. And
see, that's not going to work because for $7,000 you can get like a reasonable actual PC.
Yes.
So what's the point in getting
a
dumb one?
This is like you can just leave it around your house and then just plug in
when you need it. Yeah.
Or like
so
carry it
cool.
around. It's
So the NextDock 360, go and investigate it yourself.
I'll put a link in the podcast.
But it's actually Next without the T, NextDock 360. Look, go and look it up and you'll get a sense of what we're talking about. So unfortunately, at the end of Lindsay's deep and insightful story about these desktops created by phones, the best I can get is if you have a Samsung S series, fairly recent, like 2 to 3 years old, nothing older than that, from the S8 onwards,
yes,
as I recall.
S8 onwards.
And therefore from the sort of the Note 10 onwards,
the
that
Note
kind
8.
Of thing. Note 8 onwards. That's for Samsung. It's got to be an S-class phone. Nothing less
S
will
Note,
work,
yes.
as far as we know. Huawei, again, has to be like an up-end model.
A P or a Mate?
Yeah, so we're talking, you know,
a
like
proper a... proper P, not a P-Lite.
15, yeah, we're talking 15 grand minimum. But it doesn't have to be current model, can be
P10.
From Mate 10,
yes.
Yeah, from Mate 10 onwards.
P20, yeah.
So, you know, anything like 3 or 4 years old, nothing older than that. And then
the
Android, LG. It's hardly worth discussing because you can't actually go and you can almost not buy an LG
on a Velvet
anymore.
If you are running Android 11 on an Android on a Velvet LG Velvet, it will default to Screen Plus, which is kind of a little riff on the Android
skin.
Basic one.
Yeah. So the point here is that Android built the stuff into the operating system, but these other guys have taken it to another whole level entirely. Even if you don't have one of those phones, you might be able to get the generic Android 10 version running for yourself. But I recommend you just go to YouTube and ask about that, and they'll explain to you how to do it, so we can't do it here. How to use your phone as a desktop computer.
I use it often, but I less and less so because the iPad is in my life, and it's always with me, and it doesn't need a different screen to become a desktop operating system. But I live in hope that one day, iPad OS will evolve into a desktop mode, so that when I plug it in, into an HDMI, into my monitor, it will actually fold the entire 16:9.
Ah, yes. The scaling remains a problem.
And not like the little postage stamp.
Yeah, and even if you stretch it out, it just looks worse and worse if you stretch it out. And you can't actually stretch it out. I don't think they're good tools for
one day, so. One day, Tim Apple, sorry. Tim Cook, listen to me, sir. You'll make millions.
I want to talk about one last product. And that is Nokia. I'm an out as a Nokia fanboy.
Is this your rugged phone again?
Yes, my rugged phone. Okay, so Nokia is confusing the market by trying to create new system of naming and categorizing its products. We have
and
C-Series, G-Series, and X-Series.
A marketing strategy that says you will never need to buy another phone.
Yeah, this is quite weird. Buy one of our phones and then don't ever buy another phone from us. It's kind of weird. So, but it's interesting. Okay, they've produced a phone which you're not allowed to call, a rugged phone. Because what they've done is they've taken a regular phone and just toughened it up a bit.
Yes.
Without turning it into a rugged phone. So it actually looks like a regular phone and it's felt, doesn't have like huge rubber corners and that sort of thing. But it's much, much tougher than any other phone they've made to date.
Yeah.
It's their version of a ruggedized phone, but the emphasis is on keeping it looking cool. And I just love the look of this thing. So it's got serious IP, you know, protection, and it's got the highest level of Gorilla Glass on the front. and it almost comes inside a sort of a protective shell of some kind. And it still looks extremely sexy, and the specs are really good. So they're not low spec like you would get from a ruggedized phone manufacturer. This is good spec phone for a very affordable price. Look out for the XR200. I think it's my next personal phone.
That's a beautiful name. It just rolls off the tongue. Brilliant job there, Nokia marketing.
Everyone's doing this bad name.
I don't get where Nokia's at right now, because they're saying that they're going to put out another flagship phone, which follows on the Nokia 9 PureView, which was for me an amazing idea.
Yeah.
Very photography focused idea. But I don't know where they're at now. Or like, are we just doing budget phones, like for the sake of doing budget phones?
Yeah, it's become very confusing what's going on in their range. And what's even more confusing is how these products get to market in South Africa. Because whenever I look through the big cellular companies' brochures, there are almost no Nokia phones there. So I'm not sure how Nokia's marketing it. Whatever they're doing, I think they need to do it a hell of a lot better to get more phones into...
Yeah, Nokia's completely fallen off my list of I would just... fondling your Oppo, what's it, A74?
Yes.
5G.
Yes, 5G.
And like Oppo's usurped Nokia on my list of recommended
and
recommended
even Vivo
devices.
Has usurped Nokia. I don't know what's going on. You know, a lot of this has got to do with how you play the networks. And if you just get on the wrong side of some person and you don't send them a big enough bottle of Johnny Walker Blue or
devices have been bizarre, Nokia. Yeah. Like, it's just all these like low-powered stuff.
I think that's all the networks will take from them. That's the thing. And they haven't actually produced a serious flagship. The 8.3 was a wonderful phone.
Yes.
I would love that as a daily driver. That's 8.3G, but with 5G. Not 8.3G, it's 8.3 5G.
Yeah.
A wonderful phone, but you know, nothing to set it apart from a crowded market of phones. So I don't know what they're going to do. But their most expensive phone is like 12 or something. I think the 8.3 was 12, 13. That's their most expensive
phone. Which then runs directly into the iPhone 12 mini.
that Lindsay has just purchased. Yeah.
Paying off over time.
So owned by someone else for the next few years.
Get a cheap little case for it now because the case that we ordered is delayed because of KZN that's on fire.
Yes, yes.
But yeah, that's enough of me for this week. I am Sharpshooters on social media. That's Shooters is S-C-H-U-T-T-E-R-S. Come fight with me on Twitter. I love engaging people. Don't fight with me, please. I'm tired of fighting. I think we're all just very tired of what this pandemic, what this latest violent outbreak has been doing. We're just tired, man. We just want to hug our gadgets that don't seem to be coming out in any cohesive timeline. Like, when last has a new gadget come out? Like a new
like
new
a
gadget.
New product category, yeah. I mean. Yeah, you're right.
I see
it was probably drones like 10 years ago.
Yeah, we're getting used to like folding phones.
Yeah.
Apparently everyone's releasing a folding phone at the end of the year. And it's like, please stop. Please stop making things that people don't
care about. Yeah. Okay, well, I agree with you that everyone's exhausted. Let me leave you with this quote and let me not screw up the quote. I don't even know who to attribute this to, but it's something that has stuck with me and I've been living my life according to this for a while. It goes like this: be kinder than necessary because everybody is fighting some kind of battle. And it's so true, you know. I mean, even people who appear to have it all sorted as they pull off in their Porsche, you know, that's the same guy who will go and off himself tomorrow because, you know, whatever. So don't be fooled by people's appearance of success or appearance of happiness or whatever. Just be kinder than necessary to everybody because everybody is fighting some kind of battle. Okay, that's it from me.
Sweet.
If you want to find out about these satellite people, do subscribe to Tech Magazine. That'll be coming out from Lindsay in 2 or 3 issues time.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Cool.
Over and out.